hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. We're focusing on the city of Murfreesboro this morning. Our vice mayor, Bill Shacklett, is with us on this nippy morning.
It certainly is, Bart. I tell you, on the way in, yesterday we were wearing short sleeves, and then today we have to go back and get an extra layer of clothing on because it was bitter out there this morning.
Well, what is it? Somebody said, if you don't like the weather today, hang around.
That's Tennessee at this time of the year. Yep. Been around very long, you realize it kind of fluctuates hot and cold for a while until we settle into winter. But it was interesting this morning. I don't know. I kind of like the a little bit colder. I can deal with that a little bit better than I can the heat.
Well, the weather changes. And by Friday, we're going to be up to 57.
Oh, my goodness.
By Monday of next week, we're going to be sunny and 65.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, like you say, if you don't like the weather, just wait a couple of days and it'll change. So yeah,
absolutely.
But it's still a beautiful time of the year. It's a beautiful time to be in Murfreesboro. And sorry that you have the second, well, I guess maybe third or fourth string person from the city to come talk to you. But we had such a great time. There's so many exciting things. As I was coming in, I was reflecting on all the, in my lifetime, all the special events that we celebrated. Love to have the folks out there to tell us and remind us as to the things that used to be so special about this time of the year in our town, some of the events and some of the places that we used to go during this time. We had our Christmas parade, of course, this Sunday, and it always just amazes me how many people show up for that parade. And y'all were such a big part, you and Leanne and all were did that for so many years. And I just, it's just such a neat time to celebrate. And, we walk in the parade down East Main Street, and it is just such a time to just reflect upon what a great community we live in, full of wonderful people, all those children smiling faces and seeing how we come together, for an event like this. It's just really heartwarming, especially at this time of the year.
Tremendous entries into the parade,
oh, my
too.
Goodness, so many great things, yeah. And it's grown so much. I remember when it was relatively small, yeah. you get settled into your chair and it was about over. But now it just goes on, and so many organizations and individuals are highlighted and showcased in the midst of that end of the parade.
Our hats off to Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation
Department.
They picked
up the ball and done an exceptional job.
And all while we're talking about Murfreesboro Parks, let's remind people about the drive-through lights at Cannonsburg.
Please do at Cannonsburg. Yes, it's a wonderful event. If you drive down Broad Street, after meetings sometimes I'll go out on Broad Street and see. It's very obvious where this is at, and so don't miss that. It's a beautiful thing. They put a lot of work into that at Cannonsburg, and it'd be worth taking the kids to go see that.
Absolutely.
I think that's one of the treats of our holiday season is all the light shows and all the people that decorate their homes. But Cannonsburg is definitely a don't miss event place.
And
to
it's
be.
Free.
Uh-huh.
So you won't have to pay a thing.
Nope, it's all free.
Now, you're getting ready. Tomorrow is a big day for the Murfreesboro City Council, your workshop.
We do. Tomorrow we'll be out at the airport, and we have a meeting scheduled for the workshop tomorrow and also the next Thursday as well. We'll have a regular meeting as well. And then I think we kind of take a break till the first of the year. So, we'll get that done. But some really exciting things happened at our last meeting. We actually bid the contract for our daylighting of Sinking Creek, and it'll be that's been a long journey to get to there, but I think people are going to be really excited. If you've driven down Broad Street, you've seen all the buildings go away, but there's really going to be some beautiful beautiful little park system and the creek system coming through there that'll really enhance our downtown and really change the environment and the culture of our downtown, I think.
That'll make the area around Cannonsburg even better, too.
I think so. I think we'll have it. And we've done some things to improve. There's some foundation issues in some of the buildings on Cannonsburg, and that's been bid as well. So we've got some good things going on, a lot of things in that area that I think are going to be real healthy for the for that particular area.
I know you discovered some gas tanks in one of the locations. I don't even remember a gas station being there, but this evidently was way back.
It was. Well, I actually remember the gas, you know, on the corner there of Church and Broad.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That one was there, you know, but that, yeah, I don't think everybody realized that there was actually probably another gas station. I do remember one place that was there on Broad Street that you probably, I don't know if you remember or not, but Shacklett's Drive-In. My Uncle John
had a drive-in restaurant
there right in the middle of that block, right in the middle of all of this was Uncle John's, one of Uncle John's. He had three restaurants in Murfreesboro, and one
I remember eating there.
Yeah,
it was a drive-in.
It was just a drive-in, and Dad and I used to go down there, and they had a little room in the back, and he would set up, and we would have our lunch, back there in the back of that little bitty small room. I don't think it would.
What years was that?
Oh my goodness, I have to go back and look. I've got a picture of it. We found a picture of it not too long ago, and a lot of people remember because there was a sandwich there. He called it the Chuck Wagon, and it was, I guess it was some type of breaded veal or something like that, but it got to be real popular, and the Chuck Wagon sandwich was a big deal for him and something that he kind of promoted, but it was forever. And here's another story. He got a snow cone machine. And Gloria and I, we had always had like Kool-Aid stands and lemonade stands and stuff in our neighborhoods and stuff. And we had mentioned something about, well, can we use your snow cone machine? We set up a snow cone machine on Broad Street.
Really?
On the right in front of his drive-in restaurant. And Gloria and I rented for the day, and we must have made maybe $5 or something. I don't know. Okay, we were charging $10.
Great.
I mean, 10 cents for the snow cone, you know. But people would stop on Broad Street and get a snow cone.
Cause
you can tell, I mean, it wouldn't be healthy to do that today. But I think he came out there a couple of times and told us to stop arguing because Gloria and I were fussing at each other.
Typical brothers
and sisters. You're not going to make any money if you don't. Yeah, we were just brother and sister at that point in time. And he said, y'all aren't going to sell anything if y'all don't stop arguing about something. So I don't even remember what we were fussing about, but we were fussing about something. And he said, y'all are not going to make a dime if y'all don't. No, stop arguing. So I guess we sucked it up and made $5 or $10. I don't remember what it was, but we big bucks.
Gloria is our good neighbor of the day today.
I want to say happy birthday to her. You know, this is a difficult time that she's going through, but I'm telling you, as we all know, anybody knows Gloria, she has a phrase. She's such a great writer, and if you've had an opportunity to see, and it's been on this site, on the WGNS site, but she wrote an obituary for Tom, and she's such a great writer. I just encourage you to read that and think of how one life touches so many people, and we all have that opportunity to make a difference in the world that we're around, and it's not to get the publicity, it's not to get recognition, it's just to make a difference and move the needle on what's happening in this world and to do some good. And Tom did that time and time again, and she did such a good job of telling that his story. And so today, you know, happy birthday, sis. She's navigating this journey of grief amazingly well. She's got a phrase, and I put this out there because, you know, nobody is immune from having grief in their life. Every family, every individual, at some point in their life, is going to face a time of grief. And this is a phrase that I think is so powerful. She says, I'm going to repurpose this grief. Because that's what Tom would want me to do. And, you know, that's our choice. You know, you've heard people who've gone through grief that have gone into a black hole for years. And, you know, it's our choice. It's kind of like I tell my little leaguers, you're in charge of your attitude and your actions. And, you know, as we approach grief, you know, we move through that process in a healthy way or an unhealthy way. And I, you know, maybe this time of year is another, I thought of in a devotional I had the other day that reminded me of the power of our presence. you know, in the midst of times like this, because we're all happy and joyful and excited when we see the faces of young people. But there are people in our community that are suffering and going through a depression or a loneliness during this season. So I encourage our citizens to give a gift that doesn't cost you anything. We all have it to give. And it's our choice to do that. Give the gift of you this Christmas to somebody that needs your presence. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to say the right things. You just need to be, hey, I'm with you in this journey, and walk through this time of depression with them. I was reading a quote from Ernest Hemingway, of all people, who went through a lot of depression, had a lot of mental illness. But he said, what we long for in times of loneliness like this and grief is just the presence of another human being, and to feel that touch of another human being. It doesn't mean that we have to, you know, solve their problems or answer all their questions or anything. We just need to be there, be present for people. So, you know, I just challenge each of us, and we all have that opportunity in our sphere of influence, to be perceptive of the needs of others, to show empathy to someone in our circle of influence, and give the gift of you for a moment. I happened to receive last night at a meeting I was at a couple of sympathy cards from dear precious people, the friends. And it means a lot to just express the thought that somebody's thinking of you. You don't have to say the perfect thing, but just to know that people are walking this journey with you, it can be comforting and reassuring to people. So look for somebody to do that for in our community. We'll be a better community. You'll be blessed as you're blessing others.
What a wonderful idea. What a great encouragement for people. Look around, see if you can help somebody. Now, let's look at some of the things that the city is in the process of doing with tomorrow's Murfreesboro City Council workshop meeting. The topic on that one is, of course, the Sports Authority. What is the Sports Authority? I mean, when we think about Nashville, I see the Sports Authority building Titan Stadium and the Sounds Park and all those things. What I didn't even realize we had is it a big sports authority? What do we
have? Well, the need for a sports authority is, you know, the nuances of these particular opportunities that come our way in dealing with some of these issues of sports authority. There's so many nuances, is the only best way I can express it. And to have an independent group that is knowledgeable and can understand and can independently deal with these particular opportunities as they are presented to us, and then develop that funding source. You see, the issue with so many of these issues of sports authorities is they need a facility, and those facilities are extremely expensive.
Like the ballpark that they're wanting for Cannonsburg.
Exactly. And
how much is that supposed to be?
Well, I think the estimates are somewhere around $30 million or $40 million. So you're talking about the one at Cannonsburg?
Yeah.
I mean, and nothing's concrete. And that's the other thing about it is, you know, speculation is one thing and dreaming is one thing. We all know this if you're a businessman or you've been in the community or in business for any length of time. Dreaming is one thing, but making it happen is another. And that's the issue is, you know, how do you make something happen? What if? And there's a very appropriate time for us to think about what if. And what if is a good question. But it has to proceed to something is how we're going to do it. And one of the big questions is how we're going to pay for it. And our concern in a growing community like Murfreesboro is that there are so many pressing needs for our taxpayers to fund infrastructure, roads, schools, all the other amenities that we provide for in our city. You know, it is very appropriate that we know and determine and have somebody to explore the differences. How are we going to pay for it? How is it going to come to fruition? Not just the what ifs. And to feel those what ifs, because people come in with you all over the country. Somebody's got some great idea, and we've seen this happen where great ideas are presented to us, but the follow through is not necessarily there. So this sports authority is going to handle those questions, deal with that independent of the deliberative process, and independent of what the city council has to work on a daily basis, and then present some recommendation to the city council for the final decision. So they're not actually going to be making the decisions, but they will field the questions, look at the opportunities, and then if there is a funding mechanism that's needed, then they'll explore how that can be done and how that fleshes itself out to reality if it's justifiable. And then the city council will ultimately make any decision.
Now, the city words this as, "The Sports Authority promotes sports, fitness, and recreation while supporting the city's efforts to fund, build, and enhance sports facilities." That sounds a lot like Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department.
Well, I'm on that commission too, you know.
Okay. Well, it sounds like they're the same idea.
It sounds like another layer, but there's so many things in the day-to-day operation. Which day-to-day operation? Let's think of it more like the day-to-day operation is a rec commission. What are we going to do in this season? What are we going to do the next? How are we going to do particular things? There are more immediate kind of concerns, and then the sports authority will be looking more far-sighted, get out there in front of these, because these issues come up, and like I say, there's a lot of different issues that move you from the what-ifs to the how are we going to actually do something. And so they're kind of that gatekeeper, let's say it that way. Maybe they're kind of the gatekeeper for these ideas and opportunities and proposals of what might be in the future.
Now, a proposed budget of $250,000 has been proposed for the Sports Authority. What would that money be used for?
Well, I'd have to look at it to make sure exactly what all that amounts to, but I'm sure the recruiting part of this, and following through on some of these ideas, speculation is one thing, but to get it on, to sharpen your pencil and get it to the exact numbers that we're talking about, it's a cost-effective kind of thing, and I'm sure that's what that amounts to.
Okay.
And some of the following through on what some of these opportunities might be.
And that meeting is tomorrow, starts at 11:30, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, we'll be out at the airport.
And the public is invited to be there.
Almost definitely, yeah. Yeah, come and listen to us. If you're really bored and need something to do, come on out there and listen to us. We'd love to have you there.
We have some questions here from listeners that have come in, and I hope Shane passed these on, because we had gotten these in the other day, and I passed them on to him. We've got questions about the two big construction jobs on Gateway Boulevard that are across from the hospital. One is near Medical Center Parkway, up toward that end of Gateway, and the other one is over toward Garrison Drive. What are those?
I'm sorry, he did not pass it. It was about 10 o'clock last night when I got this message, so I'm sorry. I haven't looked into this.
Probably none of the rest of them were passed on either.
I guess. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that.
So let's see. Moving on here. We've got a question here about MTSU's hotel that they had proposed on Greenland Drive and Middle Tennessee Boulevard, that area. There was conversation that since we were building a hotel or proposing a hotel downtown in this project on Broad, is there a chance of MTSU reconsidering and putting theirs here, where they also would have a lot more people for the students to learn from?
Well, that's certainly a question to be asked of MTSU. They have certain designs as to what they think are meeting the needs of their students and their community at MTSU, and certainly they impact our city as well. So hopefully we'll be in a discussion with them to be able to see if that is a realistic to consider that. There's certain limitations, I guess, as to what fitting into their broad scheme of what MTSU wants to do. I know they're going to offer some type of hospitality program at MTSU as well, and I'm sure that's part of it.
I think they're already offering
it. Yeah, it's already being offered, but I think this is to enhance that offering in that education too. So I don't know how that would impact their decision to have it there closer to the campus. So, but you know, certainly, you know, in a town as growing as Murfreesboro is, I think the issue of having two new hotels doesn't necessarily mean that that's too many.
Oh no, we could certainly use a lot. And then, but the one downtown, there had been a call for some area for smaller conventions. Mm-hmm. And that new facility might have some of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we're still looking for a flag, you know, for that. And that is going to remain city's property. The way I understand it right now is that particular portion of the plan, the Keystone plan, is going to remain city property. So we'll still be looking for to put that hotel in that location. But all the infrastructure for it will be built. Sorry, I got a frog in my throat. But that will be all the infrastructure for the hotel that would handle the capacity of a hotel would be in place when Keystone's developed.
Very good. Our phone number, by the way, 615-893-1450. You can talk or text, whichever you prefer on that one, 615-893-1450. More questions for you this morning, Bill. Our guest this morning is our Vice Mayor, Bill Shacklett. He's with us this morning. And while we're talking about downtown renovations, give us an update on the project for the area. You've talked about the daylighting of the creek across the street. What about the buildings itself? When are they going to start coming up?
I would hope as soon as possible. There's still, you know, this is that again is, you know, how those things progress. I think that's the thing that it's hard for any of us to realize how much time it takes to work out the details, because it's not just how, you know, that we want to do something. It's how specifically those projects are funded and how are they going to be come to fruition. So, you know, I don't know that we have a firm date as for something coming out of the ground, but you know, the plan is still there. It's still, the people are still committed to the project. So I think we're still on course to have that development. And only the development across the street, the city doing their part to enhance that environment and the area. You know, we've bellied up with our side to make sure that it is a new experience for those people that are in that development. So it's, that whole experience is going to be really something special for our community. And so I think it's just a matter of time before it actually sees something coming out of the ground.
And to say that the city is really behind this, wow.
Most definitely.
You have purchased the old yard sale building. You've purchased the restaurants behind it all the way to the creek.
Yeah, we're fully committed. And the issue for that opportunity for that area to kind of be transformed, you know, even in my lifetime, I remember so many what that buildings in that particular part of our town looked like. In fact, we found some pictures. I didn't know if I brought those to you or not. The pictures of the bottoms. Did I show you those pictures? I don't remember.
I don't recall whether. I would like to see those.
Yeah, there were. I hadn't seen actual pictures of the bottoms area, and we have some that kind of shows you what it was. And quite honestly, it's this is transformative to what that area was. It was almost, they were, the Ransom feed mill was down there, you know, and it was just a different kind of area, you know. But now we've got the opportunity to set the stage and raise the bar. And I'm just, you know, like I say, I think the city's bellying up and doing what they need to do to be a part and to transform that area. And then now we'll see what's going to happen in the next few years. It's going to be exciting, I think.
Oh, I think so, definitely. One, and you mentioned about how the hotel had been moved out of that package of the development, and the hotel was now the one that was causing a slowdown, really.
Exactly, yeah.
So with it being moved out, that should free things up.
That is our hope, you know, because that's a difficult component, I guess, when you start putting the dollars together and the funding sources. It's a more difficult project with a hotel in it. These times, and I think, I really hope that the times are going to become a little bit more solid. Expectation can be a little bit more firm as we're moving forward, but it's been a difficult time to get funding on hotel components of projects. So And we found that out in other projects in town as well.
I know, the one at West College.
Same issue there. So, you know, the hope is that this will move the project a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. So will this change for the downtown hotel, the one in this project here on Broad Street, will that impact the project up at the Methodist Church? Or is that one dead in the water? Because I know the city has written letters to them saying,
right, we removed the TIF from that, which it makes that funding pretty impractical as it was. Once you remove the TIF funding portion of that project, it became not realistic for them to move forward. So
now, it's a dead project right now.
As of right now, the project as it was presented to us and as it has passed is probably it's not feasible now. So the city's trying to figure out exactly, and there's a couple of alternatives of paths forward with that project, but we just have to kind of wait and see. You know, this is a terrible thing to have to say, but you just have to wait and see, because some of the hands that make decisions are, you know, the projects in other hands, and we can do as much as we can do, and I think the city's trying to do as much as they can do to move a project forward, but there are certain limitations.
Here's another question. This is about a project on Spring Street, where what was called the mayor's house, the old historic mayor's house. I think several mayors had lived there. Mm-hmm. I don't think the city owned it. It just got that title.
I drive by that project all the time, and okay. I really need to know more about it. I'm sorry, I do not know a whole lot about what that project's going to be. It hasn't come before council, so I don't know if it's something requiring a new zoning. I don't really know. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're seeing a lot of downtown in the residential area, mm-hmm. residential developments. I know for a while there was talk, or more than talk, it was everything that you did from then on out was going to be single family, mm-hmm. but that obviously has changed.
Well, we had an interesting thing in our last city council meeting, and it kind of raised the concern, I guess, of council when we had a project come in ask for a sewer variance, and it required the part of their proposal was some apartments, and I think only one person's perception, but I think it was clearly expressed by the council that apartments were not going to be an option, particularly in this area, because of the sewer capacity. And that's something, you know, the issue that we have with sewer capacity is probably more driving as far as anything, as far as growth in our community. There are certain capacities in certain areas of our community that have to be addressed, and to allow sewer capacity to be committed to one particular project through an apartment use or something like that, I just don't see the will of council as allowing apartments.
When you look at the wording on something like that, can a developer change the way something looks or sounds? Because I see a lot of townhouses, 6 and 8 townhouses being built. In fact, we did some research on the one the old mayor's house. Mm-hmm. That is 8 townhouses. Mm-hmm. What's the difference, really, as far as size goes, in townhouses that are all stuck together and an apartment? Those are approved and the apartments aren't then.
Well, there's a little difference as far as the trajectory of the use, I guess, when you build a townhouse and when you build an apartment. And I think that's probably what we're talking about, is where the future use of a particular location is going to be. So you know, that's those decisions, you know, we get recommendations from our water and sewer department as far as the capacity for the sewer system. We get recommendations for what is granted under certain zoning parameters from our planning commission, and then that recommendation in each individual project is evaluated independently of each other. You know, but then you have to also have that long-term view for its impact on our community as well. So sometimes, you know, that could impact how a decision is made.
Our phone number, 615-893-1450. Bill Shacklett is our guest this morning, the Vice Mayor of Murfreesboro. We are focusing on the city, the heart of Tennessee. We'll be right back. If you have a question for our Vice Mayor, give us a shout. Text it to us, 615-893-1450, or you can do it the old-fashioned way and talk. Same number, 615-893-1450.
We're powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. From everyone at MTE, here's wishing you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous new year. May your holiday season be as bright and warm as the community MTE serves. Happy holidays from Middle Tennessee Electric.
This is Peter Demas from Demas's Restaurant. Our family wants to wish you a Merry Christmas. Christmas is about an incredible act of love to be treasured every day of the year. It's about the sacrifice that God made for us, sending his son to this world as a man to redeem us from our sins. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the angels proclaimed, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Merry Christmas from Demas's Restaurant.
Santa Claus is coming to Animal City. Hi, this is Amanda. Santa will be at our store Saturday, December 14th from 12 to 3. He's ready to take pictures with your pets and family. We welcome all types of critters. It's the perfect way to enjoy the holiday and support Music City Animal Rescue. Bring the whole crew, two-legged and four-legged, and join the fun. Mark your calendar for December 14th at Animal City. You'll find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street right here in Murfreesboro. We'll see you there.
Has become mostly sunny here this afternoon with a high in the mid-40s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 25. By Thursday, sunshine, a high 48 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 35.
Need a new set of tires? Head to Tire World, where you can buy now, pay later. Ask your Tire World experts in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne about their financing options.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Get the Bridgestone-affiliated retailer credit card.
Look up in the sky. There it is. The tallest tower in Murfreesboro. This is WGNS, FM, AM, and worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Our guest this morning, Murfreesboro Vice Mayor Bill Shacklett. And we're talking about issues that are top of your mind that are before the city of Murfreesboro, before our city council. And, of course, they do have a planning meeting tomorrow, a workshop. That's something you've been doing for a couple of years now, several years.
We had, you know, there's so many things. That, again, trying to deal with the day-to-day decisions that have to be made in the operations of the city. But then we were hoping that the workshop would give us a different format and the opportunity to talk more long-range issues and become informed on issues where people could come and make presentations to the council that would give us more of an informative kind of a long-term view of information, and as they become not necessarily making a decision, but being better informed as we were moving towards making a decision. And that was the format that we thought workshop could do. And we're kind of finding our way. You know, I think the issue is we're getting better at that. You know, as we flesh that out, I think we're getting a little bit better as far as how what is handled. And it does give us this other opportunity, you know, another venue and also another, like, format to be able to become to hopefully be prepared to make the right decisions. But I just, you were just asking me about something that was on my mind, so and needed to be brought forward. So I'm going to let, could you mind if I
No, go ahead.
Something's been on my mind, and I've been chewing on this bone for I'm going to 6 or 8 months now, and trying to figure out what is the path forward. So maybe there's somebody listening out there today that can help me with this idea, and everybody that I've talked to about it agrees it would be something healthy for our community, but it's something that, you know, I guess the election cycle pointed up to me a need for our citizens to be better informed, for all of us to be better informed about how decisions come about and what is the decision-making process, how do I interact with the decision-making process in our local government. And so I'd propose that we start, and we've done this before, but to have a Citizens Academy, an opportunity for our citizens to become more of a civics lesson on local government. And so I'm trying to put that together. All our department heads are willing to help with this, and I'm trying to see exactly, a path forward. But also, there's another need that I think a part of this is to help people of different opinions and perspectives to have learn how to respectfully dialogue over these difficult issues that we face in our community. It seems like we all stay in our little huddles and dialogue with people that agree with us. And whenever we get face to face with someone that disagrees with us, we vilify them or we don't necessarily come to any conclusions and move forward in a consensus as to, okay, what are we going to do when you think one way and I think another? How can we still move forward in our community? So I really like for that to be a component of what I'm talking about. So if you're interested in this, give me a call or email me at my email. Email me and let me know that, one, you're supportive of this and would be willing to participate. I'm thinking probably either participate at the airport in a venue out there or at City Council Chambers. I think we could move forward in the coming year, maybe do this in 2025, and learn how to, like I say, dialogue over difficult issues, and also learn a little bit more, have a little bit more knowledge as to how decisions are raised at the planning level and all the different departments in our city, learn how to be a better citizen, to engage the process as a citizen, with my opinion, and to effectively do that. Because often I think, when we have our 3 or 5 minute talk during a public comment section at our council, sometimes that's the first time people have ever gotten in front of a microphone, and it becomes very difficult to get a coherent thought done in 30 minutes. I mean, 3 minutes, much less 5 minutes. And like I say, there's an opportunity, I think, to learn a little bit as a citizen, to be better citizens, because quite honestly, we have citizens that are productively inputting the deliberative process will make better decisions as your city council.
So this would be something similar to Citizens Police Academy or any of these programs, public involvement.
Yeah, public involvement, but a little broader than just either one of the Fire Academy or the Citizens Police Academy. A little broader perspective, because, like I say, it seems like a knowledge of civics and how decisions are made on the local level and how to effectively engage that process. Plus, I mean, there's another benefit to this, I think. People that might be considering running for public office, a lot of times we throw them to the wolves and basically say, okay, here you're going to be coming to forums. This is what you need to do. Somebody that has the thought of, well, I might want to run for city council, or I might want to run for public office. Well, what does it take, to have somebody that you can counsel or mentor as you move towards that, because I think preparation for that public service is just as important as public service. If you have the heart or the desire to serve your community, I think preparation for that is just as important to the actually get running for office and getting elected. So, I think there's some people could benefit from someone coming alongside them and helping them make some of those decisions and say, well, what if I wanted to someday be a public servant? What would I do? So anyway, I'm kind of seeing how that is going to come to fruition. It is. I'm willing to listen to anybody's opinion or perspective, but I think it's something that's really important, particularly in this time when everything seems so contentious. And like I say, we're all talking to people that just agree with us, and we don't necessarily listen to other people's opinions.
Good idea. So get in touch with Vice Mayor Bill, and he will help you out there. Bill, let me ask you this question, too. This question has come in. A listener said they were listening a few months ago, back when the Hoard property on Broad at 840 was discussed as a potential sports complex, a person was going to develop that. That did not happen. And shortly after that, the mayor said, well, the family has now requested approval for another development, which is a much broader in scope development. And they're wondering why we're not seeing anything on that. Is that a project that's dead in the water too?
Well, it was residential, I think, was the proposal that I heard at that point in time. You know, this is another thing, you know, innuendo or speculation, you know, as to what's going on is sometimes even difficult for a city councilman to figure out because, you know, the word on the street is not necessarily the true word, you know. So understanding exactly where a decision is in that process. But my understanding was that it was an extensive residential project, which would have had huge impact not only on the water and sewer, but on roads in that particular area. When you add a huge capacity, that residential schools would almost require another school in that particular area, because that's a lot of land out there, by the way. And so I think that was what the mayor was talking about when he said, you know, that's not necessarily going to, we were encouraging them to reconsider how that was going to develop. There are particular areas because of the 840 and the interchange, you know, that we have up there. There's opportunities. One of the growth areas for job creation, economic development, that's the opportunity. That's the next area that we will be focusing on. And it's not necessarily building homes in those areas. It's necessarily building businesses and job opportunities and economic development in those areas. And 840, that 840 interchange, not only there but in Cherry Lane and where we're going to intersect 840, those are growth areas that we have to be pretty deliberate about, intentional about what we're going to do. Because when you set the tone in those areas, there's lots of implications down the road when you decide what are you going to put in that particular landmass. But I think something promising hopefully will come to fruition, and we're going to watch that to make sure that it develops like we want to.
Let's stay around the 840 area. You mentioned about the Cherry Lane connection. How are we on that one?
It's still progressing. You know, they're still progressing. Purchasing property and the development will start, I'm sure, relatively soon. I don't remember on the traffic therapy. There's so much information, Bart, I'm telling you.
Information overload.
Well, it really is. And you get updates on things pretty regularly. We're fortunate. Our staff does give us updates on information all the time. And sometimes I get a chance to read it, and sometimes I don't get a chance to get all the way through that. But yes, certainly you could call our transportation department, ask them where they are in that process. But that information is certainly available there, and we're progressing. I think that's going to make a big difference, too. Hopefully, we'll pull some of that traffic off of Memorial. You know, it's a difficult time. All of our systems are heavily impacted, particularly in certain times of the day, and the plans are all these alleviated plans just take, because some of them engage the state as well, you know. Some of these roads are state roads, and so we have to get in line, and we've actually bellied up in some of these projects to belly up a little bit more money from the locals to be able to move it up the line for TDOT to be able to those improvements. So, you know, trying to move them as fast as we can, but in an area like our community, Rutherford County and Murfreesboro, you know, it's hard to get ahead of the stream.
One of the things that has been in the news, and we have a question about this, is dealing with the Water and Sewer Department and their new building. In fact, in the water bill that just came out, they say we're about to move.
Yeah.
Do you know when that will be?
I'm sorry, Bart. I needed to tone up on my ideas a little bit more. I don't have dates or anything like that. I should know that, but I don't. I don't know when that's actually going to be built. I apologize.
I know in the bill, the statement said sometime, I think in January.
Well, that would make sense.
So. But
that's, I knew it was right on the real close.
Real close. And this person who sent that one also asked, says, what will the old building be used for? That is on, what is it, Vine Street?
You're talking about water and sewer, yeah, where you pay bills. Yeah, that's the hotel. That's where that land is, where the proposed boutique hotel would be, right there where the water and sewer, where you pay your bills now.
So when they raise the other buildings to make way,
down.
So they'll just take it all down.
It'll
at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good. Now, the other development downtown is right next to Shacklett's Photography, mm-hmm. the bank. And again, not a whole lot happening there either.
No, again, word on the street, which is it's worth what I paid for it, which is not much. But no, Richard Sandoval owns that property behind us and over at Third National Bank, or at the bank.
Truist, whatever you are.
I forgot whatever. You know, the bank's name changes almost on a daily basis sometimes. And I'm assuming that, but nothing has come before planning. Nothing's come before city council. But the word on the street is that some development and some improvement of that area is in the works.
Okay. Well, he had released originally back when everybody was planning these things.
Yeah, he had a drawing. Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know if that's still what's being proposed or if that's shifted. I don't know.
He was even discussing a building next to you with a sky bridge connecting them.
Yeah, we've heard all the, like I say, the word on the street, so I don't know. But you know, again, the difficult thing, my undergraduate degree was at MTSU, was in urban planning, and I still remember this whole idea of what if is a stage of the process of development, but what ifs and what actually becomes comes to fruition may not be. There's a process of formulating, and it's like making a sculpture. It looks kind of like a glob of clay when you start, but as you work that clay and you work that into something that is practical, financially feasible, and cash flows basically for a businessman, then it may not look like a lump of clay anymore, and it's hard to make decisions when you're looking at a lump of clay as opposed to what you look at the final choice, final plan. So, and there's all kinds of arbiters in the middle of that, and City Council is part of that arbitration process. City Council and Planning Commission and all of our staff, all of those people have a part of that deliberative process that input what we want, and this is the other step of having citizen involvement. To be an effective citizen involvement in that process, then we all don't say, well, I didn't have any say in that. But to have the public's input in making those decisions, because as it happens now, I think we could do a better job of engaging the public in hearing their opinions. Sometimes it's hard to discern in a 3-minute speech in front of City Council when that's the first time you've ever spoke in public. It's hard to discern exactly or concisely and precisely what is your will and what is your thoughts. So, we're all still working at this.
So if you have an idea on how to put that together into a program, get with Bill Shackley.
Exactly. I'd love your help. It's kind of a group think. It's a group think project for our city.
And this city is good at group thinking.
I agree. Look at all the good things that have happened as a result. You were just talking to one. I listened to you talking to Cliff Sharp.
Yeah.
You know, what if? You know, they started with a what if, and now look at all the good that's happening in our community because of Greenhouse. And so, so if you want to be a part of this Think Project, give me a call and help us come up with this idea.
Bill Shacklett, our guest this morning. He is the Vice Mayor of Murfreesboro. Bill, thanks for all of you that you do.
Oh, thank you, Bart. Enjoyed being with you.
Stay with us. Much more to come right here on your Good Neighbor Station.